Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Montana Moves and Meals Well Chat, episode 4. My name is Kristen Stokes, and I'd like to give a big welcome back to Neil Andrews.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, back from his ride across Montana, the Ram, which was successful.
It was. Well, one, I'm here. I made it back. So that was goal number one.
Awesome.
Is to come back and to come back in one piece.
Good. Well, congratulations. And I know that people are really anxious to hear about your trip. So I just want to start with a question. Tell us about the trip highlights.
So it was 9 days, as many of you know. We talked about it on the last episode. And there were several highlights. The weather in particular for the whole trip was pretty awesome. We had some days that, you know, were better than other days, but I'm really glad I got it done when I did and picked the week I did to do it, because this week across Montana, and particularly like in eastern Montana, they're hitting some triple digits over there. It's been a really hot week. So the weather cooperated for the most part. The wind cooperated for the most part. I'll talk about that in detail a little later. But this is a recording of me after day one, the first real day, the first long day. And so this is me in the moment, just having finished up the ride, giving a little day one report. Day one of the Ram is in the books, 71 miles. And I'm at McGregor Lake, and it's gorgeous here. It's a gorgeous day. It got a little hot. I was out a little longer than I wanted to be today. Biking a little bit with Tanya, but beautiful, beautiful conditions. There was a headwind the entire time. Not a crushing headwind, but a steady headwind. So there was not one section of this trip where I just, like, was flowing and riding easy. It was work, like I was pedaling downhill. So what I was hoping would be an easy break-in first day was actually pretty challenging. And so it's time to relax and cool off and rehydrate. Two trip highlights close to the beginning of the trip is the second day of the trip on Monday. We went to Flathead Valley Community College in Kalispell and got just an outstanding welcome from the employees there in Kalispell. So I really appreciated that. They even had a dozen cyclists who rode out. Kalispell has a really wonderful shared use path system that was built, part of it at least, was built by the Northwest Montana Rails to Trails Foundation. And they have all these great shared use paths, not just within the city, but like you can go outside the city as well. So they rode out about 3 miles outside of Kalispell, and I met them on the shared use path, and we had this big biker gang that rode into FVCC together. And then and Kristen was actually at Flathead Valley that day, so you got to participate in this. Tell kind of what the scene was outside the college, because it was definitely a surprise to me.
It was very fun. Thank you to Denise and FVCC HR who organized this, and thanks to everyone who came out. But yes, it was very festive, very fun. They made a lot of signs for Neil, including some big ones of his head, just a picture of his head. And those were really fun, and I think Neil, you seemed surprised.
Oversized,
yes.
Cut out, yeah, photos of my face.
Like they do at like professional basketball games.
Yeah,
He was a big star. and then also just some fun wellness-related signs and some, you know, just really enthusiastic, motivational signs. So that was awesome.
That was a good reception. Then later that day, just getting to Glacier National Park, we ended up camping at Apgar. And that night, it had clouded up a little bit and heard some drops of rain on the tent, and you're thinking, you know, this will just be a little spot shower and then it'll blow right through. Oh no, this was a soaker, just a nice good rain that posted up over a glacier, and so we were pretty damp in the morning. And so that was our biggest probably incident of weather. We had a few other showers on the trip, but those were, when we were on the bike, those little rain showers and spot showers were actually quite welcome because they cooled everything down. But we got wet a little bit while we were camping. Probably the highlight of the whole trip, I was planning to take a rest day that Tuesday, but some of the employees at Flathead Valley told me, so to back up, and I think maybe did we talk about this in the last episode, that going to the Sun Road was closed to vehicles because they were still plowing, and I'd planned to cycle over going to the Sun Road, so I was starting to make like a plan B and thinking, well, I might not get to bike over at all. I might have to go around like Highway 2, the south side of the park, and I didn't really know about that highway, and so didn't really know what I was going to do there. But the employees were like, hey, you can bike over it right now, and it's still closed to vehicles. So the rumors were going around the park when we were there that going to the Sun Road was going to open to traffic like imminently. And I'd planned a rest day, and then at this point, my friend Chris from New York, who joined me for most of the trip, had arrived in Glacier, and you know, we had talked about just hanging out in the park that day and, you know, seeing some sights of the park. But we said, you know what, this is a golden opportunity. If we can bike over without cars, let's do it. So we did. And apparently we did it on the very last day that going to the Sun Road was closed to vehicles, at least about a 20 mile portion of it over Logan Pass. The construction crews had finished all of their work, and so there were no obstacles, there was nothing up there. It was a gorgeous day, really kind of perfect conditions, warm on the way up, and then we had packed some layers. It was a little cooler on the descent down, but it was one of those moments where, you know, just every 5 minutes we would just look at each other and just say some kind of take on, this is amazing, this is incredible. It, you know, it just kept getting better and better as we would go up. And just like, it's one of those moments in life where you're like, I can't believe I'm getting to do this right now. So if you ever get a chance to ride your bike on going to the Sun Road without cars before they open it to traffic, and I know like you can do the same thing in Yellowstone in the spring, but it also kind of depends on what the weather is. But it was just a surreal experience. So that was a big, big highlight.
Sounds like a good stroke of luck, too, with getting the timing.
So lucky. And we were really lucky in so many aspects of the trip. No bike issues. My friend Chris and I, he didn't ride as many miles as I did, but we rode over 1,000 miles between us, well over 1,000 miles between us. And there was not one flat tire, which I just want to be like the spokesman for my bicycle tires. I use Gator skins, and those things are bomb proof. I think they use like Kevlar, like they have in bulletproof vests, but not one flat tire going all the way across the state. And we rode over some sketchy some places where like, oh, I know I'm getting a flat tire from that. At one point there were like carpentry screws in the road. We didn't run over any, but they were there. Yeah, I think somebody
obstacle course.
Yeah, I think maybe a motorist that didn't like cyclists probably like went and threw those on the road. Oh. We, you know, probably made somebody slow down for like 10 seconds and they were mad. So
how dare you?
When I got to Great Falls, I visited Great Falls College, and they had a reception for me as well. And while they did not have oversized cutouts of my face, they did have some really awesome and thoughtful questions. And I ended up, I think that kind of meet and greet session lasted well over an hour, and we had some good discussion there with some of the employees at Great Falls College about the ride, and I got to share some photos I had taken, especially the ones that I had just taken in Glacier, and even some video of the Going to the Sun ride in Glacier. So that was really fun to share, and I'll look forward to sharing more photos and media in the days and weeks to come, especially at some of our other locations.
Well, so no flat tires. That's awesome. And no mechanical issues. But tell us about some of the challenges on the ride.
I think we talked about this earlier too, is we just had our fingers crossed that the winds would be good more than they were bad, and they were. But I did have, of the 9 days, I would say there were 3 days where it was pretty much headwinds the entire time. And so that just makes for a lot of work. One great thing about riding bikes is going downhill, because you can coast. You know, if you're a runner, you know, you never really get to really just take a break and coast. But on a bike, you can. You know, you earn it going uphill, and then you get a nice fun descent. But there was a couple of days where the headwinds were strong enough where you were working downhill as well. Like, you couldn't coast downhill. You had to pedal downhill, and that's not a good feeling. I would just say that a couple of the longer days, the two longest days I had, the longest day was 130 miles.
Wow.
And the second longest day was 122. And just trying to recover from those long days mentally, like, you really question, you know, can I get back on my bike tomorrow? The 130-mile day was from Lewistown to Jordan, and I promise you, like, when we got to Jordan, I would not have been able to ride another mile. I was done. In fact, there was a little descent downhill into the town of Jordan, and I literally, like, unclipped my my cleats from the pedals, and just, like, my legs, like, hang down, because my feet hurt, you know, from being just clipped in all day and pedaling all day. And it was hot that day. So a combination of, you know, that day it was a trifecta. It was heat, headwinds, and the longest day. So that was definitely the most challenging day of the trip. And honestly, I didn't know if I would make it the whole way. I kind of had the option in the back of my mind, you know, if I can't make it, you know, that's okay. But about 30 miles in that day, I was feeling really good. And I was like, no, I'm going to make it all the way. 100 more miles. Yeah. There was actually a sign that said Jordan 100. And I took a picture of that. And I had a couple of ice cream treats that day that definitely saved me, including one of the best milkshakes I've ever had in Sand Springs, Montana. If you ever happen to go through Sand Springs, Montana, there's like one gas station, and you must stop. You must get a milkshake. And I actually have another self-report that I made that day of the big long ride from Lewistown to Jordan. So here's a little look into my psyche on that day. Okay, going for the longest ride today. It's Saturday. Only got a few days left trying to get from Lewistown to Jordan. It's getting warm today, but winds have been fairly calm. Stopped at the Cozy Corner restaurant in Winnett, Montana, and had a 16-ounce coffee and a bowl of ice cream for $1.50. Pretty awesome.
So after cooling down and having some food and rest, were you feeling okay about getting back on your bike the next day?
After Jordan?
Yeah. Like in the morning, did you wake up?
It was tough, but I mean, you just, one of the themes kind of in this trip was like one day at a time. I just tried to take it a day at a time and not think about the entire, like the entire ride, because that's really intimidating. And really the only thing you could do is take it one day at a time. And so, yeah, that next day it was kind of, you know, business as usual. You get up, you get ready, you get on your bike and you start pedaling. That day was tough too, because we had more headwinds that day. And I'm really glad that I had my friend Chris with me, because on those couple of days where we had the headwinds, we would take turns drafting off each other. And we kind of had a system that worked pretty well. We just went by mile markers. And so we did the even mile markers. So every 2 miles we would switch, and you know, I would lead and he would draft off me. And then when we got to the next even mile marker, we would switch and I would draft off him. So you do get if you're not a cyclist, drafting makes a huge difference, just being behind even one bike. If you're riding behind a group like they do in the Tour de France, like there's a huge advantage of drafting, and that's part of the strategy. But even with one bike, you can really save some energy. So I'm glad I wasn't stuck out there by myself. I'd probably have gone crazy. And then when we really got tired, we went and we were starting to get frustrated, because you ride into a headwind long enough and it just wears on you. It's mentally tiring. So we got to a point where we actually went every mile marker. And so we would just do 1 mile at a time, breaking the wind, and then getting to rest and draft. So we kind of made it into this huge interval circuit, and that worked.
And that's a good friend right there too.
Great friend. Yeah.
So what surprises did you have during the ride?
So it wasn't all roses. Some things did not go as planned, including the very beginning of the trip. I had reserved the right to, well, just put my safety first. Like, being safe was more important than saying I rode every single mile from Idaho to North Dakota. And as soon as we got to the Idaho border on Highway 2, there's actually a stretch right at the beginning of where you get into Montana. There was a pretty steep, curvy descent with no shoulder and not a lot of visibility and guardrails. And I learned to really dislike guardrails on this trip, because they don't leave you a lot of place to go, and especially if there's no shoulder. And I was right. My mom and my sister were the ones who traveled up to Idaho with me at the beginning of the trip, and they were the support crew. And my sister rode some of the portions over the first couple of days. And I'm looking at this road, and they both had the same reaction. They both were like, "You're gonna ride this?" And I just thought, you know, I'm not gonna start off the beginning of the trip by, you know, getting run over in front of my mom and sister. So I skipped that descent, and actually have a little report that I recorded in the moment, talking about being disappointed in that part, but also there was a happy ending as well. So here's me on what I call day zero, which was the initial like little 12 mile ride on the day we drove up there. So I was a little disappointed because I couldn't technically start at the border. There was just a stretch of road that it was too sketch. It was big downhill, curvy, no visibility, no shoulder, guardrail. And I just
I couldn't do it. I said I was going to be safe first. But that also gave me a little like time to play with. And so I'm exploring. I'm just kind of going where the off-road takes me. And I actually found the Kootenai River. And I got to dip my back wheel into it, which I wanted to do. So now I can ride toward the Yellowstone and dip my front wheel into that. And so I'm happy. So the Kootenai River is going to be my border. Yeah. Sometimes things don't go as planned and you go with the flow and it's better.
Some of them were good surprises, like just how, you know, I'd written out an itinerary, but it's like plan for the best, or hope for the best, expect the worst kind of thing. Things really went smoothly. Everything was kind of stayed on schedule for the most part. I guess I was surprised in a good way with how my body responded. And of course I had put in the training, but it's still going to be, you know, a lot of miles. And so my legs did great. My joints did great for the most part. My body did great. The things that I guess were surprising as far as what hurt were my hands and feet. So my extremities and the places where I'm attached to the bike. And actually my rear end was able to make it through the trip. I was worried about that. But my hands just holding on to the handlebars for that long, and, you know, in places where there was chip seal, which is kind of the rougher portion that they put on roads to make it last longer, and it's really annoying. Or, you know, if you have to ride over a rumble strip, just kind of that vibration. I actually am just now kind of getting back. I actually lost sensation in my ring finger and pinky fingers on both hands from the handlebars and from, I probably pressed and crushed a nerve in there some way. So I'm just now, a week later, starting to get some sensation back in my ring and pinky fingers. So my hands hurt and my feet hurt, but that was surprising to me. That's not what I was expecting to be, like, you know, the thing that was the big kind of obstacle or the thing that caused the most pain.
So it sounds like the athletic part of that went really well. Would you have changed anything with your training beforehand? Now that you're on the other side of this.
I mean, I always think that I could have done, if I could have gotten a few more really long rides in, I think the overall volume of my training was appropriate, but there was room for some like really, really long rides, because it ended up being that, you know, all of my longest rides occurred on the trip. And so I had gone several times close to the distances I was doing on the trip, but I certainly could have gotten in, some like really long rides. But, you know, that's tough to do sometimes, because you really, I mean, on a bicycle, when you're doing that kind of distance, I mean, you really have to, that just takes a whole day.
Do you want to get back on your bike now? Are you ever going to ride your bike again?
I am, but I have been pretty lethargic since getting back from the trip. I think it's like anything else where you have to be up for, you know, an extended time. You know, there weren't days on the trip where, you know, okay, well, I can sleep in a day, or I get a day off, or, you know, I can just slack off today. It was like every day was, okay, game on. We got a big ride today. So getting back, definitely mentally tired. I mean, physically tired as well, but But I'm still mentally retired, or mentally retired. Hopefully not. So it's coming back. Today's probably the best day I've had. I also did a race this past Sunday, and so I basically had like 4 days off after the Ram, and then it was a duathlon, so I had to get on my bike for that, and I had to get up for that, which was difficult. And so now I'm really kind of getting into rest and recovery mode. I haven't gotten back on my bike. I haven't gone to the gym, but I will. Maybe tomorrow.
Recovery is important.
Recovery is very, very important. And yeah, my body needs the rest, and my brain needs the rest. And then you let that rest happen, and you kind of start feeling normal again. And that's when you know, it's okay to ease back into it. Oh, and I went on a hike last week, and I was like, oh my goodness, like I got to get my land legs back, you know, cause I'm in great shape for biking right now, but maybe like hiking and running, maybe not so much.
Well, that'll be nice to have a new focus for the rest of the summer. I had one final question. So in your preparations, we were talking in the days leading up, and one of the things that you had on your list to do was to make a huge stack of peanut butter and jelly. So, one, how did the nutrition piece of your ride go? And two, are you sick of PB&J?
I never get sick of PB&J. Never, ever. I did batch some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and those lasted several days in the trip. Granola bars were a staple. So I batched the PB&Js, and I batched like some trail mix that I put together. So we basically did it. We had like a Costco run, and it was like, okay, let's grab this 3-pound bag of walnuts and this 3-pound bag of almonds and the big bag of raisins. And there were some M&Ms as well in the trail mix. So basically made my own trail mix. So between the trail mix, and then I had a couple of different kinds of granola bars, including Cliff bars. It was very fortuitous. Like days before we left, Smith's here in Bozeman had their Cliff bars on for 77 cents.
Wow.
So I maxed out that deal. It was like limit 12. I got 12 Cliff bars. So I'm a little tired of granola bars. but that was basically my standard fare during the day. Was like granola bars, gels, PB&Js for like the big substantial food, and then we'd have a nice dinner at night. We tried to go to a place wherever we were that night, and we actually had some really good meals. So definitely restocked up, refueled at nighttime, and that was fun. And then for breakfast, we did some we would make overnight oats, so they'd be ready in the morning. We had like a flax chia mix that we put in the oats, blueberries, cinnamon, and it was really quite good. So that was a nice filling breakfast that we had every morning. And then finally, just water, 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 lots of water, lots of sports drink. Hydration was absolutely key, and I think we did a pretty good job staying hydrated, especially toward the end of the ride where the temperature started to climb.
Good. What was the hottest temperature?
I think the hottest temperature we rode in was probably mid-90s.
Ooh, that's warm.
The last day, this was between Glendive and Sydney, it hit 100 that day, but we were finished. Like we got done before it really got hot, but it hit 100 that day, and you know, really that whole week after that, it was a scorcher. So really fortunate that we got the bulk of the cycling in before it got hot. And then we also learned to love a cloudy day. There was one day that was really quite cool and cloudy, and that was a day where we had tailwinds, and we felt like we can just do the whole thing. Like we could ride all day in these conditions.
I bet those days were nice.
You appreciated those days for sure. The last day of the trip, we had tailwinds, so that made it, especially after the really tough days going into the wind and having to you know, draft off, take turns breaking the wind, the last day just felt really easy. And that was a nice way to end the trip. You know, we weren't suffering on the last day, and you could really kind of take it in and enjoy the moment and just, you know, kind of reflect and feel joyful about, you know, finishing rather than just thinking, oh my gosh, will this ever end?
Good. Well, overall, it sounds like your trip was a smashing success.
Yeah, I couldn't have scripted it better. It exceeded expectations, and I'm happy that I did it, and it was a great experience. And yeah, maybe in a couple of years I'll do something like that again. I've actually already got an idea for the next one.
Do you want to share it, or is it a secret?
No, I think it's still rolling around in my mind, but I mean, that's what happens. Stuff rolls around in my mind.
That's how it
starts. So it's going to be called the Ram again, but it's going to be the ride around Montana, not like around the whole state, but maybe do more of a loop and hit some locations that didn't get hit. This time I'm thinking maybe like Dillon, Missoula, Helena, Billings.
Cool.
Yeah, make a little loop of the southern part of the state. So yeah, we'll keep you posted on that. I may take a year off
okay.
Before I revisit it. I'll have to have a new or another challenge next summer.
No one needs to start making their big Neil head signs yet?
No.
In you those can, locations?
No.
Okay.
maybe 2019. We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of the experiences about your trip. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
And we should talk about what MUS Wellness has got cooking up, coming out. It's a little bit of a slow time of year for us, but we do have a couple of things on our radar, including a really cool thing Kristen's doing in Missoula in a couple of weeks at the brand new Missoula College, right?
Yes.
You want to tell us about that?
Yes, I would love to. So Missoula College has a culinary program, and they also have a brand new building. So we are able to do a couple of cooking classes in their teaching kitchen, and it's going to be led by one of the chef instructors there, and that will be coming up July 25th and 26th. We're offering it twice. And so we will be sending out an announcement soon. So if you are in Missoula, heads up that's coming your way.
And I think I'm also going to do a RAM presentation.
Yes.
When we're in Missoula. I also want to do one here in Bozeman. So if you're in Missoula or Bozeman and you want to learn more or hear more about the RAM and actually like see pictures and videos, I'm putting together a video right now where I had a GoPro mount on the front of my bike, and so I'm going to do a little video editing, and you'll be able to ride across the state in, you know, the matter of a few minutes. So I'll be presenting that video and some photos and doing some Q&A coming up soon, again here at MSU Bozeman, and then I want to do that when we travel to UM in a couple of weeks too. So what, probably Wednesday the 26th, mm-hmm. July 26th. And then I have a webinar next week, July 18th at noon. And this is on running relaxed. So switching gears from bicycling to running. If you are a runner or a jogger or have aspirations to be a runner or a jogger, and whether you're a fast guy or gal or just more of a leisurely pace, if you want to run more efficiently and more comfortably and just run relaxed and smooth, check out that webinar.
All right. I think that's it for MUS wellness announcements.
Okay. And we want to say congratulations to ourselves, right? Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Chris and I started with MUS Wellness 5 years ago this month, getting pretty close to the day you started, right? You're almost right on it, right? Maybe one more week.
So yeah, maybe
okay.
In a week.
So high five.
Woo.
Good job. Here's to the next 5 years. Okay. Well, thanks for tuning in today, and we will catch you next time at the Montana Moves and Meals Well Chat.